The International Monetary Fund downgrades its global forecast. Yep, trade tensions to blame again. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The IMF has downgraded its forecast for the global economy in its latest World Economic Outlook. The report includes lower projections for the US, China and the Eurozone. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani is in Bali, Indonesia, where the meeting is taking place.
You can just look at the number of times the word trade pops up in the report, more than 200. The phrase trade tensions around 50 times. Funnily enough, President Trump's name doesn't appear in the report. But that's not to say that the IMF hasn't been very vocal about the Trump administration's tariffs on Chinese goods. And I think the fact that between the last World Economic Outlook and now, the imposition of tariffs on more than 200 billion dollars worth of Chinese goods and the threat of further trade tariffs on Chinese goods, which of course China has also retaliated with, that's really making the global economy a far more gloomier place to be. Even with US tax cuts boosting the US economy, it's unlikely to be able to continue to erase the effect of the trade tariffs. That's what the IMF's chief economist Mori Obstfeld had to say to me.
I think the tax policy is a more powerful effect, but we have to see how far the trade actions go. If they go very far, if they affect financial markets and business confidence, they could end up being a much bigger deal than they have been.
So the IMF's chief economist there, Karishma, what about emerging economies, places like Turkey, Brazil, India, where we've seen growth suffering, problems with corruption, etc.? What does the report have to say?
We're seeing US dollar strength, rising interest rates in the United States, and all of that has a corresponding effect on the emerging economies that you've just mentioned. The manifestation of that has been that it's much harder for these countries to pay back their US dollar debt because it becomes more expensive. As US interest rates go up, foreign funds flow into the United States, making the currencies in these countries far more vulnerable, and that, in effect, will put pressure on their growth outlook going forward.
Karishma Vaswani there. Let's do the numbers. Italy's prime minister appeared before parliament today to defend his budget proposals and said he expects the business environment there to weaken as the overall global picture dims. Italian bonds are feeling fresh selling pressure as yields jump to new highs. Meanwhile, stocks in Asia finished lower while European markets are little changed. Now, putting rumors to rest, Pakistan says it's decided to approach the International Monetary Fund for a bailout to tackle its mounting balance of payments crisis. The country's finance minister said the prime minister, Imran Khan, a former cricket star elected in August, made the decision after consulting economic experts. The BBC's Sukunder Karmani reports from Islamabad.
Many analysts have long predicted that the country would need to approach the IMF for a 13th bailout package. But Prime Minister Imran Khan had favoured exploring other options first, including possible bilateral loans from friendly countries. Economists say, however, Pakistan needs around $12 billion, and only the IMF is likely to be able to provide that kind of funding. The money could, however, come with spending restrictions, making it more difficult for Imran Khan to implement his vision of an Islamic welfare state.
Sukunder Kamani. Now, BTS is a K-pop band, the biggest boy band in the world right now, after One Direction, playing to sold-out crowds in New York and now London for the first time tonight. The BBC's music reporter Steve Holden has been telling me more.
So BTS are essentially the biggest boy band in the world at the moment. They're a seven-piece from South Korea. They've been going for a good couple of years. They came together through an audition process in 2010, 2011. But they've really hit the big time in the last couple of years. They're massive all over the world. Hence their two sold-out shows this week in London at London's O2 Arena, plus an enormous concert that they did in New York at the weekend.
Why the international appeal? I mean, we all know that K-pop has some appeal, but people willing to pay money to go see them live? Why?
They have harnessed the power of social media better than lots of other K-pop bands. Their parent company is not as rich as some of the other K-pop businesses. But what they've managed to do is build up a fan base in America, in the UK, in other parts of the world that's really, you know, these people don't speak Korean, but they've managed to translate what BTS have saying, their messages, into a universal language, which means that anything that is tweeted about BTS gets retweeted hundreds of thousands of times. They hold Guinness World Records for being the most tweeted about band and the most engaged band on social media, like, ever. So one of the most popular songs at the moment is Idol. It was the highest charting song in the UK by a K-pop group ever. So much so that Nicki Minaj, the US rapper, did a feature on it to kind of give it even more global support.
The fans are ordinary American British teenagers.
The fan base is so eclectic. They're called the ARMY. That's their, like, pseudonym around the world. Mainly teenage girls, yes, but we've heard of a 28-year-old British man who's had plastic surgery to look like one of BTS. We spoke to a 28-year-old Scottish girl who moved to South Korea to be closer to BTS. They are a global phenomenon.
Steve Holden there, and those BTS K-pop fans are paying thousands of dollars for resold tickets. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.